We are so thankful to have each and every person on tonight. Our brother Tommy Brooks, host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. Brother Joey Farrell resides in Morrison, Tennessee. He's the director of operations of the Gospel of Christ program. We're so thankful he's accepted our invitation to come on tonight. It's his time. I actually give your attention to him. Brother Farrell, it's your time to make it plain about the simple gospel.
Well, thank you, Brother Brooks. I appreciate the opportunity to be here, and I want to welcome everyone to the Nationwide Gospel Call. Let me start out by talking about the simple gospel. I want to address your attention to what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 17 through 20. Paul said, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." I want to second the thoughts of speaking boldly where the Bible speaks. But I also want to address the question that's at hand for us, and I want to make it plain. What is the simple gospel? Or what is the gospel? A lot of people may read this particular section of text and not understand what it means about the mystery of the gospel. What does that mean for us? What does it mean as far as how can we know, or how can we know what this mystery means that Paul has alluded to? I submit to you tonight that the gospel is complex in design, but it is simple in reality. The gospel is as important as it sounds and comes with the promise, the power, the purpose, and plan that God has designed for us. So let's make it plain and let's study the simple gospel together. The word gospel is mentioned 103 times in 97 different versions in the New King James Version. The word comes from the root word of the Greek in euangelion. Now, that's a tongue twister to say, but basically when you break it down, it's the same word that is designed that we get the word evangelism from. It's also the same word that's designed that we get evangelist from, or a preacher maybe. It's also got in its midst the word angel or messenger. So we need to understand that when we're talking about the gospel, we're talking about that particular word that holds such a great value and meaning. When you look it up in some of the biblical dictionaries, Baker's explains it that it's the word God spell, G-O-D-S-P-E-L-L. That's where it comes from. It means good tidings or good news. The Eerdmans Bible Dictionary says it's specifically the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. When we understand what that means in our language and our own understanding, the simplest definition of all, when we focus on that fact that it is specifically the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ, we get a better understanding of those four points that I've already enhanced in my discussion this evening: the promise, the power, the purpose, and the plan. And we're going to look at each one of those identically together. We're going to look at them individually. We're going to look at some supporting scriptures of each and every single opportunity that we can on these terms that we've mentioned. But first off, I want to direct your minds, and if you want to mark your Bibles, to a particular passage that will be our theme tonight. That passage is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Again, we find the Apostle Paul writing here, and of course, Paul wrote a lot of the epistles in the New Testament, but he's addressing the church in Corinth with several things in this particular epistle. But as he comes toward the close of this particular letter that he sent to them, he wanted to remind them of some things that were very important. He starts out and he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved." Now, we need to pause there just 1 second and understand that the audience that Paul was speaking to were those saints that were saved in the church. He wanted to grab some common ground with them, make sure that they understood what they had committed to when they obeyed that simple gospel. And so when he says, "I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you," he says, "I also understood that same gospel." He goes on to say, "If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, And certainly we can understand that we can do that today. But he says in this next part, he says, "For I deliver to you first of all that which I also received." Now, I want to pause there once again. I want to back up and make sure that we get the picture here, get the big picture of what's going on. When Paul is preaching, he's not preaching of man's works. When he is talking to these individuals here at the church in Corinth, he's reminding them that he once too was someone who was on the other side of salvation. He was on the side in which he would convict Christians and condemn them, and he too was delivered from that sinful life. And he says that I deliver to you the same gospel that was given to me or that I received. Now, you may remember the story of Paul's conversion. He was on the road to Damascus, and we find that in multiple accounts in the book of Acts, starting around chapter 9 is the first account that we might find. And when Paul is on his way, and he's named Saul in this particular instance, he's on his way to Damascus, and he's going there to persecute Christians. He's going there to actually have them killed, if you will. And so we see Paul in a very interesting situation there. And so the Lord makes presence to Paul on this road in a blinding light. He gets his attention, so to speak. He asks him why he's persecuting him. And then he tells him what he must do to be saved. Now, friends, I want to interject something here. A lot of times people will go right there and they'll stop and they'll say, well, okay, so the Apostle Paul was saved by a vision from God. That's not the case. Because Jesus himself told Paul, you enter into the city and you find this man, Ananias, and he will tell you what needs to be done. And it also continues on in the text, and I'm paraphrasing this particular segment of Scripture, but it goes on in the text to tell us that Paul went on about his journey on into that area of Damascus to go find Ananias to sit down with him, if you will, and to study the Word of God. And I have no doubt in my mind that the gospel message was preached to Paul that day. So what does that mean? What is the simple message or simple gospel? Well, again, Paul picks back up in that same text in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. He said, I'm giving you this. I've delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received. Now pay attention. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now that is the conclusion of verse number 4. That text will go on to explain a little bit more about what Paul is addressing here in this particular context. However, for the sake of time tonight, we're going to focus on what we can pull out of that particular segment of text. And we will exegete that and look at that together and make sure that we understand how easy that we can make it plain with the simple gospel. First thing I want to look at is the promise of the simple gospel. You see, when we look back at that text in 1 Corinthians 15 and some of the other supporting texts that we can look at, we see that Paul has the opportunity to explain it to us very clearly. He said himself in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and multiple verses that it was according to the Scriptures, according to the Scriptures, and according to the Scriptures. And so we need to understand that there is something behind this message that we're talking about tonight. Romans 1, 1 and 2. Paul addresses the churches in Rome. He says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Well, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, the Holy Scriptures would be all things that were written and given for our learning, right? 1 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. And so when we think about the Scriptures that are given to us, the opportunity that we have to look at those Scriptures and to see the relevance of what they mean to us in the New Testament time and in the kingdom time today, we can see that there were prophets and men of God that spoke talking about this gospel message. Let's go all the way back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15. Now, we know this is Moses that is writing this account here, and what happens here is we know that man has sinned. Through the serpent, through the temptation that he gave mankind to know, that Satan gave mankind to know the difference in good and bad, and You know, if you'll remember, God told them not to eat of this particular tree. And what did they do? Satan says, well, he doesn't want you to know what he knows. Well, so in a nutshell, Satan is trying to be equal with God. And we know that can't be the case. And God says in Genesis 3, verse 15, he says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman. He's addressing Satan here. He's addressing the serpent. And between your seed and her seed. Now watch this now. This is very important. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. You see, back in the very beginning, in the beginning of the book of Genesis, the entire creation story gives us an example and an identity that Jesus is there with God. In John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Later on in a few verses, we find out that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and all things were made through God and the Word, and that Word being Jesus the Christ. Daniel 2, verse number 44, and in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Friends, that verse right there is pointing directly to the kingdom of the church, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And there is no doubt in my mind whatsoever when I look at Genesis 3, verse 15, that I can tie in the simple gospel message with Daniel 2:44. Let's fast forward a little bit in our chronological Bibles, and let's look at Isaiah chapter 52. Now, a lot of times we may jump to Isaiah 53, talking about the suffering servant, but I want you to see in Isaiah 52 something very, very important. Verse number 7. Here's the prophet Isaiah. He's given the words of God directly from his own mouth, written down at the scrolls, and it says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. Now, I want to pause there for just a second in that particular verse, and I want you to go back and think about that definition that we gave already, that definition that says God spell good tidings, good news. It says he proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. When we look at that verse, we can see the picture of the simple gospel. We fast forward many years to the life of Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus was prophesied. We know that in Isaiah 53, that prophecy came true. We know that in Psalm 22, there's another prophecy there of Jesus coming. And, of course, the first prophecy in Genesis 3:15, directly from God. But Jesus says in John 5, verse number 39, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. What is the promise of the simple gospel? The promise was that there is an opportunity for salvation. There is that opportunity, as Paul said in Ephesians 6, 17 through 20, giving us that opportunity of salvation in the powerful promise of the simple gospel. In Mark 1, 14 and 15, the writer records here, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, anytime we say gospel, you can substitute, because we know the definition now, you can substitute the word good news. And if you do that, when it says that he was preaching the good news of the kingdom of God and saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, repent, and listen here, folks, and believe in the gospel. You know, the term gospel is very interesting because it can be categorized into different language forms, such as in this particular instance, the gospel would be in a noun form. But if we look at it in some other ways, good tidings and such as that, it's a different form. But we need to understand that when we're talking about repent and believing in the gospel, it's not just believing in the words of God. It's believing in the process. It's believing in the entire prophecy that was given of salvation and how we would come to it. Mark 13, verse number 10, here we find Jesus speaking. He's warning his disciples, giving them some evidence to come, and what we might find is the destruction of Jerusalem. They're concerned about what they're supposed to be doing, because they're seeing all this bad thing come and all this activity is coming upon them, and Jesus wants them to calm down. He wants them to focus on the task at hand. Listen to the words he says. And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. What a joy that can sound like, what a joy that can be if every person in every nation can hear the gospel. Friends, if you read your Bible, you're going to find out that that word was taken to every place outside of Jerusalem. The church, of course, started on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 and verse number 38 and the verses before and after when the church was founded there and thousands of people, 3,000 souls, obeyed the gospel that very day. Let's keep talking about the simple gospel. We've talked about the promise. We've talked about that prophecy, the coming of the simple gospel through the Savior Jesus Christ. And let's talk about the power of the simple gospel. This is a much shorter segment that we're going to look at today, but I want you to understand there is power in the gospel. Paul wrote there again in Romans chapter 1, verse number 16. One of the key verses of what I try to instill in my life every single day. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. Now friends, if you don't know a lot of Bible history, you can look at those two terms and you can understand that God was opening salvation for everyone. In the book of Romans, Paul addresses that for us. He goes back and forth between talking with the Jews and talking with the Greeks and combining those two things together, those two areas of people together, and showing them that the beauty of salvation is there for each and every person. There's not a person on this earth today that can't find salvation. There's not a person today that cannot obey the simple gospel. There's not any limitation whatsoever. Some people may say, well, I don't know enough about the gospel, and that may be the truth. That may be something that you need to study more upon with maybe some help, maybe Brother Brooks, maybe myself, maybe some other person that can sit down and study with you about the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. But friends, we cannot be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. There again, substitute that word, the good news of Christ. You know, a lot of times it's looked at that, and sometimes in people's lives that they can be kind of a little bit sour if they're a Christian. And that ought not be the case. That ought not be the case at all. Because, friends, let me tell you, when your life is filled with Jesus Christ and your thoughts and the patterns of life that you live, when you're imitating Him, your life should be much, much better. And, friends, that power is there. And that power is there in this simple gospel. Paul also wrote to Timothy in instructing the young evangelist that he was. He told him in verse 11 of chapter 1, he said, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Boy, I'm telling you what now, to think about that, I mean, the power that was given through the gospel message to Paul and committed to his trust. The power of the simple gospel. It's the words of salvation. It's the understanding of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, our King and our Savior. Let's talk about the purpose of the simple gospel. We've talked about the promise. We've talked about the power. Now, I think it's due time that we talk about the purpose of the simple gospel. What do I mean by that? Well, why was the gospel given? Why was the good news given? I mean, couldn't it be easier? Couldn't it have been, you know, if Jesus is Lord, which we know He is, but couldn't Jesus just save people? Well, sure He could. But friends, let's understand something here. God is not a respecter of persons. God will not save one person any different than another person. You know, we hear those questions often. Some people like to say they're arguments. I don't think they're arguments. I think they're questions. But, you know, certain questions are asked sometimes. Well, if this is the way that we're supposed to believe, if this is what we're supposed to do, well, what about this? Or what about that? And we'll cover some of those in just a moment. But I want you to see the purpose of the simple gospel. Number one is to teach all mankind. You see, that good news, that simple good news that's out there for us, is to teach all mankind. Galatians 1, verses 11 and 12. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. That means you can't have some kind of a manual. You can't have some kind of a, some kind of a book that gives you instruction outside of what God's word says. Let me repeat that. I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, here again, we have Paul. We have Paul the Apostle, formerly known as Saul, the one who persecuted Christians, the one who stood by as Stephen was stoned to death, holding his cloak, now saying, this is what I preach to you. This is what I teach to you. And he basically is trying to explain to the church in Galatia that, listen, this is nothing that I've read in a book. We might think of some books that are out there today in the bookstore that we may pick up, and they may have some correct teaching in them, but maybe not. This isn't something Paul read in a book. This isn't something somebody told him on a fishing trip. This is something that came through the revelation, the true revelation of Jesus the Christ. Let's think about what Jesus said in Mark 16:15-16. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now, you look at that verse, and or those two verses together, and you see good news. Go into all the world and preach the good news to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from eternal punishment. You know, God is a loving God. God is not a God that wants you to perish. He does not want anyone to be condemned. As a matter of fact, he's long-suffering so that none should perish, is what the Bible tells me. He wants every man to come to repentance and to the knowledge of salvation through his gospel. John chapter 20, John summarizes the entirety of the book of John in two verses here, verses 30 and 31. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. In other words, John's saying, I can't tell you everything that happened. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. Boy, what good news is that? The Son of God. And that believing, now listen to this, outline this in your Bible, underline it, mark it yellow, whatever you need to do. But that believing, you may have life in his name. And friends, people fight for life each and every single day. We're talking about eternal life right here. We're not talking about, you know, being able to go to a ball game next week or you know, all the limitations that we've had put on us in the pandemic that we've been in. We're not talking about anything where life has been restricted. We're talking about eternal life, that glorious end time when we're there with God for eternity. The second reason that there is a purpose of the simple gospel is to strengthen the church. You see, friends, once you've obeyed the gospel, once you've become a Christian, you've been added to the Lord's church. And when you're added to the church, your learning session doesn't stop. Actually, it starts. It becomes really fast and momentous when you become a Christian. And we need to remember that we always need to be learning. But to strengthen the church, we give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it is also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God. Of God in truth. It's Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. You see, Paul addresses the church at Colossae there, and he said, I want you to understand that this truth of the gospel is there so that you can bring forth fruit. You need to understand the gospel so that you can recreate that gospel message for others. But the third purpose of the simple gospel is not quite as happy, if we might say. It's to judge mankind. You see, in Peter's account in 1 Peter 4:17, he says, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Wow. You know, when we think about obeying the gospel of God, we think about that beautiful opportunity we have of eternal life. But Peter kind of turns it around a little bit on us and says, you know, if you don't do this, oh boy, you've got your hands full. We'll see that again in another verse in just a moment. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 3, in his letter to the Corinthian church there, he said, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. That's how important us spreading the gospel message is. That's how important the simple gospel is. It's because if it's veiled, or in other words, if it's locked behind the door, it's not given, people are dying, and they're dying lost, and their souls will never be able to be restored once again. Listen to the words in 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 8. They're very familiar to what Peter said. And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In this particular instance, the gospel becomes more of a verb. It's not really in the language barrier, but obeying the gospel does become a verb. Because the good news is given. The plan of salvation is given. And that's what we're going to talk about next. The plan of the simple gospel as we come to the close of this lesson. The plan of the simple gospel is simple. John 14, 6. The entire segment of John chapter 14, when Jesus is addressing the disheartenments of the apostles, Jesus says, and John records, that he is the way. He is the only way. No man comes to the Father except by me, he says. Acts chapter 4, verse number 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And then listen to this verse in Revelation 1, verse number 5. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. How does that fit together in God's plan for man? Let's bring this to a close in the simple gospel message and how we're going to talk about that. And the way I want to do that is I want to remind you of 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. I want you to see some key points there in the last part of that particular text. And I want to read for you once again, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. Here we go. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now I want you to pause your thought there. And if you want to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6, I want to read some verses there, and we want to tie this all together. You see, in Romans chapter 5, at the end of the book, the church is there. Paul is surprised at them because they're wanting to sin more so they can get more grace. And Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. The King James Version says, God forbid. I don't know how much more strong you can get than that. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus? Now hold on, here we go. We're baptized into his death. Okay? Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. We are baptized into his death. Revelation 1:5, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. How did we get there? We were baptized into his death. How do we do that? We're baptized into his blood. Just as Christ, Romans chapter 6 again, was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Okay, let's look back at 1 Corinthians 15. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Friends, my conclusion of this lesson is simple. Peter writes in 1 Peter 1, verses 22 through 25, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Now catch that, obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. Love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Friends, we're going to make it plain tonight. We're going to make it plain and simple. The simple gospel is simply this, what we've read and studied tonight at 1 Corinthians 15. The plan of salvation is laid out for you in Scripture. You can find in Acts chapter 2, verse number 37, the men and brethren that were involved in crucifying Jesus Christ, they listened to the apostles' lesson there, the sermon that was preached on that day of Pentecost, and they were so confused because they heard some very convicting things, and they realized that they had killed the Savior. And they asked the question, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? You see, when you think about that and you realize that you may be staring salvation in the eye. Let's put it in an example and an illustration. Let's say your home may be burning on fire. And you look out the window and there's a fireman standing right there. And he's saying, come, come, come. And then you throw a gallon of gas between you and him. That's kind of what those men did. You see, they killed the Savior. And they didn't know what else to do. And they said, what do we do? And the response from Peter and the other 11 is very plain. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins. Friends, that's what we have to do to become a Christian. That is the simple gospel. Today, I'm offering an invitation to you, and that invitation is not mine, but it's the Lord's. The Lord's invitation says you must hear the word of God. And tonight, you've heard the word of God. You must believe it. Hebrews tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Then you must repent of your sins. Turning away from that old man, as we've looked at in many verses, putting on that new creation, confessing that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life and the Son of God. But friends, it doesn't stop there. So many times I mentioned we would look at some examples. People want to put salvation on man's words and not Jesus' words. Jesus said in Mark 16, 15 and 16, be baptized for the remission of sins, for eternal life. If you're not baptized, there's condemnation. Friend, you must be baptized for the remission of sins. There's no way around it. 1 Peter 3:21, Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16, Acts 16, I believe around verse 30, 31. There's no way around baptism for the salvation of your sins. And then, friends, we must live faithful. We must come out of that watery grave of baptism and live our lives as an imitation of Christ and being faithful, becoming that evangelist, if you will, and sharing the simple gospel with others. Friend, tonight the invitation is yours. If you need to know more about baptism, salvation, please contact the local church in your area. Churches of Christ salute you, Romans 16 and 16. I want to also close by saying if you can want to learn more, the Gospel of Christ television program is on every Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. Eastern Time on WGN America. It has now been branded as News Nation, and we would love for you to join us there as you hear another word from the Gospel of Christ.